Well, the members of the Jerusalem Council were unhappy again. It seemed as though they had just received word that a rather influential Gentile by the name of Cornelius and his entire household had converted to Christianity. Not only that, it was Peter who was responsible for the entire mess. Now, they understood that Jesus had told them to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, but they also knew that Moses had told them to keep it clean. What Peter had done to win over the heart, the mind, and the soul of Cornelius was anything but clean. Can you believe it? He actually ate with the man. In his house, no less. There was hardly a worse crime in all of Judaism. The bottom line was that Peter had tampered with tradition and he had thumbed his nose at the law. And as far as the Jerusalem Council was concerned, it would not be tolerated. If the movement was going to grow in an orderly sort of fashion, he needed to understand that anyone outside the faith who wanted to become a part of the church had to convert to Judaism first and agree to obey the law, all 613 of them. And neither Cornelius nor anyone in his household had any intention of doing so. Now, maybe the council members had a right to raise all of this as an issue. After all, laws and regulations are important. Without them, a society or a movement will dissolve into complete chaos. But even law and order can be carried to an extreme, as was happening in this particular instance. When word got back about Cornelius, the people in Jerusalem were upset. The law had been violated, and they wanted Peter to be accountable. But you know, in all of the fuss and furor, there was one very important question that no one seemed to be answering. How could someone tell others of Christ if he or she was forbidden so much as to enter another person's home, sit at their table, and break bread with them? How could you talk about the love of a person so great and so wonderful as the Lord, when you refuse to tear down walls and to overlook differences? Now, we know from Peter's time with Jesus that he was not exactly a Rhodes scholar. Yet even he understood that the only way to reach others was to put aside their differences, to listen, and to really listen to what they were trying to say. So in an attempt to explain, that is exactly why he went to Cornelius's home, to put aside the differences, to prove to the man that there was a God who loved and cared for him, Peter told the council about the vision that he had received from God. "I went up on the roof to pray," he said. "It was about noon, and I started to get hungry. But while I was praying and waiting for lunch, a really strange and bizarre thing happened. It was as if the heavens opened up, and a sheet came down from heaven held by all four corners. And when I looked into the sheet, it was filled with four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds. And a voice said to me, Peter, eat and be satisfied. But I said, oh no, no, not me, Lord. I have never allowed anything unclean to defile my mouth, and it won't happen now. And then the voice said to me, Peter, do not call anything that God has made impure. And believe it or not, that happened three times before the sheet was pulled back into heaven. And the sheet had no sooner ascended back than Cornelius' household was standing at the gate. Well, the council chose not to believe. So Peter was faced with a dilemma. Would he cave in to their expectations and demands, or would he stand firm and obey God? Now, people, don't take lightly what Peter did. Because if it wasn't for his actions, if it wasn't for his answer to the dilemma, we might not be sitting here, because you see, we are the Gentiles. We are the unclean. We are the unacceptable. But Peter finally decided that he would obey Christ and not the council. In the midst of being criticized and ridiculed for associating with all the wrong people, he remembered Jesus' response when he received the same treatment. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciple. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. In other words, the only way we can possibly love God is by loving others. Not just those who think like us and look like us and act and believe like we do. Like Peter, we have to understand that God's grace is available to all people, that everyone is invited to the table. So Christians, look around. Go ahead, your neck moves. Look around. And I want to ask you, who's missing? What faces are absent from this congregation today? Is it the teenager who roams the neighborhood because his parents aren't home or they just don't care? Is it the recent immigrant whose customs are strange and whose English is non-existent? Where are the Native Americans? The Middle Eastern, or the black family who lives next door? Look around. Where are those who are addicted, abused, and despised? A new commandment I give to you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Friends, it is only through God's grace that we are here. And it is through that love that is ours through Christ that we must welcome others. And when we love, and when we reach out with that love, then we will learn to live as one. You know, the table is set. And what's amazing is we have been invited. Thanks be to God. Think about it. Who was there that night, gathered around Christ? Was it the stellar and the elite of Jerusalem? Was it the scholars and those who spent their lives obeying the law? Or was it those who no one else wanted? Fishermen? Tax collectors? Zealots? And Jesus said, "This is my body, broken for you." How amazing.